And then we cut to a woman in lingerie and clown shows up to her door. And
she's holding a glass of wine and she's like, pizza.
Yeah.
And he's like, And then one clown sticks his head in and it's just like, And the second clown sticks his head in and he's like,
Yeah.
Open the pizza box. Triceratops comes up and it's just like, And then they shoot her and she becomes a pink testicle.
Yeah. The cotton candy scrotum room.
I call it, what in the second version of Willy Wonka bullshit is this?
Yeah.
It's okay. So it's a big, brightly colored room. Lots of, like, this is where they do try to play with scale. So there's like a huge, like, vacuous, like, huge black void behind them. But then you've got these rails and then several of these big pink sacks that have like a bumblebee top, and then they hang down into like a one nut sack of pink
scrotum.
Cotton candy
scrotum.
And then they're like, they're bubbles that are balloons that are glued to other things. There's a machine that's popping popcorn and you're like, what? And there's some fancy colored knobs. They wander in and they're like, oh. And this dip who's just trying to, I don't know if he's trying to, like, now, here's the thing. If you work with kids, sometimes you happy smile your way through it. Like, oh, aren't thunderstorms fun? Right? Like, okay, you just work your way through it. But he's just like, hey, I think this is a cotton candy factory. And you just want to hit him with one of the sacks.
Right. Because, like, we find out later they have an amusement park that isn't too far from their home. Yes. And if they're in, like, the middle of nowhere, he's going to be, this is obviously.
He should know how cotton candy works.
He should know. Yeah. Again, Debbie, why is this guy appealing? So they're in this room of cotton candy, and I think this is the point where Mike's like, no, it's just cotton candy, and he rips some off.
Yeah,
and then it's face of old guy.
Yep, dead guy.
Yeah, and then I think Debbie screams, and then they hear some commotion of someone coming in.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the part of the film when I realized that we are older than these people. Like, they're probably in their late teens, early 20s, and I'm like, oh gosh.
Actors or characters? Like, the characters are supposed to be in their late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
Because they definitely look like they're in their late 20s as actors.
Yeah, that's true.
Is always kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, well, at least they don't make them like children. Like, I'm glad that they didn't make me feel like I was watching a high school thing. Mm-hmm. He goes, this way. And I'm like, bro, you walk down one hallway. You don't have to really this way me down. Anyways. Oh, okay. But the clown that comes in, mm-hmm. who starts toggling things while they hide ineffectively, but he doesn't see them, so maybe I'm wrong. I call this clown Ronald McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
He's got red hair. That's it.
Yeah.
Just like the standard, like, poof at top, poof on sides, stereotypical clown, but also creepy proportions, etc.
Right. And then they make some kind of a commotion. Ronald McDonald sees them. Mm-hmm. Chase ensues. He grabs a gun.
A popcorn gun.
Popcorn gun. And they make it out. They're running down the hallway. And the clown comes around and fires it. And as they're running, you see the popcorn, like, flying through the air.
Yes.
And then as they get out, they just do that whole, like, jump.
A face plant?
Yeah, and you see, like, the popcorn stuck to their back.
Yeah, but do you see how it's, like, perfectly sparse, like,
yeah.
where they glued it to their clothing?
Right.
It's, like, beautifully spaced, like, an inch and a half apart all the way across their body.
Yeah.
I do have a Sean fact about this popcorn gun. It was used by the clowns in the film, but it included a compressor that would allow the weapon to actually propel popcorn. So it was really propelling popcorn, and it was the most expensive prop in the production, costing $7,000 to create and taking 6 weeks to build. Crazy, right?
I totally want one now.
Yeah.
I need the Mike knife from Phantom of the Opera. I need this popcorn gun. I need Ben from Night of the Living Dead to live with me. I will, dragon.
Yeah.
And a toaster that works really well.
Yeah.
If you stick your tongue out at it. Okay. So wait. So then also now we get to the second best character of the movie.
Oh, but before they do that, Debbie's like, why is it popcorn? And Mike's like, because they're clowns. Anyways.
Yeah.
Like, duh.
No, there's obviously more to it than that.
Yeah.
There's, like, obviously more to it.
There are moments where the movie really tries to be a little self-aware, and I don't feel like it hits as well. But, I mean, it's okay, because we got the best character in this movie.
Second best
character.
First best is the hound dog.
Pooh Bear, yeah.
Pooh Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Second best
is the balloon dog. They like a couple of clowns come out. One of them pulls out this long balloon. He makes a balloon dog.
He wibble wobbles it around for like he's I want to say it's like 15 seconds. It's probably 5, but it's so funny. And then he makes the longest legged. It's the size of a dog, but it's all balloon thickness.
Right. And they have it on one of those wires and you have the balloon on a stiff wire. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know that the effect is like off camera. They're wiggling around, making it look like the dog's like trying to run after him. Wonderful.
He sniffs and he howls and he tracks. And I'm like, yeah, get him.
Yeah.
I would have end of movie that if they'd that. What's that movie where like the guy jumps out of a waterfall at the end when they catch him because it's all a chase movie. If this was just a movie about that balloon dog chasing these teenagers through the woods and it was just a lot of squeak, squeak, squeak. Oh!
Like the Willow dogs, but balloon dogs.
Yes. Yes. What was the other movie I was thinking of? You know what I'm talking about? The guy who falls out the circular. They're on a dam at the.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. It's with Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The Fugitive.
Sure? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was trying to think of. Okay, if this movie had The Fugitive out.
So we're remaking this movie, but
with
it's.
Zombies.
With zombies. Balloon zombies. No.
No, 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 but the command. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if it could work on Adventure Time.
Okay.
It can work for us.
All right.
Okay, so then Harrison Fording, balloon dog, kicking these guys out of a.
Yeah, what? We just recreate just randomly in the middle of the movie. We just recreate.
We kill off Mooney that way.
Yeah. Or we just recreate that scene in The Fugitive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. With a dog.
Right. So they get back to the car. The clowns are surrounding them. They pretty much drive over the clowns. They drive over the balloon dog.
They pop the balloon dog.
R.I.P. balloon dog.
R.I.P. Second best character, only mm-hmm. for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And then they find as they're driving back to Crescent Cove that the clowns don't die that easy because they get up and they do the slow walk to town as you have like this ominous like clown, evil clown music.
Crescent Cove walking 5 yeah. miles. They've got 5 miles to like
right.
beat him to town. Now we start cutting back and forth between the clowns in city doing the things that they're doing to take over and to our heroes.
Right.
So we've kind of got four different plots going.
Right. And so it first goes to Mike and Debbie going to the police station because Debbie said, we need to go to the police. I know someone there. And when she gets there, she meets up with the younger blonde haired police officer. His name is Dave.
Yes. I think just before this, we do see that the little Triceratops and was it Ronald? I think go into the drugstore. Like, we see them by the gorilla thing and then we cut to the.
No, I don't think so, because my next note is the reference to roll credits. So I think they were in the police scene,
uh-huh.
And that's when he takes her inside and...
I'm telling you, there were dead bodies.
Right.
I'm telling you that there were clowns.
And Mooney comes in and is like, so you're saying there are killer clowns from outer space.
Yes, and we totally cinema-sensed it together.
So, and then I think we do see, like, I think there is, like, cutting between them and the clowns actually getting into town.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of shows that even though the clowns were walking very slowly, they still got to town at the same speed of a car. Apparently
that's they do have other modes of transportation we see later on,
right?
But also Mooney calls them tramps in the police station.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he's just like, you tramps. And then Dave is like, I'm gonna take you to go check this out because dead bodies pretty mm-hmm. important. Right
This is also the moment where Mooney says, I was just up there, I didn't see anything. And so it was like he was just up there at top of the world
messing with my poor baby goth.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, and you won't be making a dummy out of me.
Oh, yeah.
As he like sits down to like be in the police station.
I do think that you were right that as they're like going outside the police station and inside the police station, that we do see one of the clowns going in front of the drugstore.
Because that's the gorilla part.
Yeah. And so like one of the Ronald McDonald, I think it was.
Yeah. Clowns that ended up in the drugstore are little Triceratops.
That's the short one.
Yeah, with the green. I'm sorry. By little Triceratops, I mean he's got a halo of green hair and then one shock of green hair in the middle of his forehead. And I know that's not three horns, but like he looked like a Triceratops and he's short and he's like the funniest, I guess I would say, of the clowns.
He feels like the youngest.
Yeah. But yeah. Is it because he's short?
I don't know.
He definitely has the most gags, I think.
Yeah.
And then Ronald McDonald.
Yeah. Ronald McDonald actually goes outside the drugstore and he sees, and there's also a gorilla out there that's like a motorized animatronic gorilla. And Ronald McDonald goes there. He stops and we don't know why. And then he like backs up a little ways, put down his bag, and then he just sort of like mimics the gorilla a little bit. And we see two women go into the look at it. Like come on screen and look at him, even though like logically they would have seen that it was a walking, you know, clown. Anyways, not the point.
It doesn't matter.
Like we see them go into the drugstore.
And he's like, don't mind if I do. And he follows them in. Yeah. Okay. So then we do police station. Then we go to what I have dubbed gazebo shenanigans.
Yeah. Rando gets caught by puppet act.
Yeah, he looks so familiar, and I'm terrible. I could not pick out from my head who he reminds me of. He's very pale, with like super pale eyes. It doesn't matter.
Does he have a name?
I don't think so.
No, because it turns out Christopher Titus is somewhere in this movie, and I can't figure out who he is.
Yeah, I don't think this guy is Christopher Titus.
No, I don't know.
Right,
it's possible he's blonde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he's kind of strolling around, being like a loose, like, not I say loose, he's just a teenager walking around,
right? This is like the first of vignettes where we actually see the clowns interacting with the citizens of Crescent Cove.
Yes.
And in this moment the guy comes up, he sees, you know, something's going on at the gazebo, and when he gets to the top of a gazebo, it's a puppet show, and it's like one of those Punch and Judy act.
That's exactly right.
And at the end, there's a clown that comes out from
That one's named Red Liberty Spikes.
Yeah. And the puppet's got the gun.
I reiterate, none of these clown names are correct. They are not named. There's only one clown with a name.
These are Naomi's names for the clowns.
This is how I reference which clown we're talking about.
Right.
Sorry. Okay. Yes. Punch and Judy, Liberty Spikes. So the boy puppet. Okay, we don't see the clown yet. The boy puppet is making advances on the girl puppet. The girl puppet's like, no. He goes to lunge for her. She ducks down. He goes to grab, misses. He steps back. She pops up. She's got a gun. Shoots with the gun. Guy in the audience is like, ha, ha, ha. She killed him for trying to rape her. And then she turns slowly to him. And then Liberty Spikes raises up. And he's all like, the f-? And then he gets shot. And it's beautiful.
In a sort of weird opposite twist on this scene, there is a portion of this that doesn't appear in the theatrical release, but does appear in the television release. And the guy that's watching this as the audience member throws his popcorn away. Basically, the popcorn gets thrown back at him. And so he goes to investigate. And that's why he's watching this scene. He gets hit. Yeah.
The popcorn is a precious commodity in this film.
For sure.
Don't ignore the popcorn.
Little larva.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
Literally, because spoiled food would have. Huh?
Da-da-da-da-da.
All right. So Ronald's in the drugstore messing with the guy, throwing things on the ground, and then Triceratops guy is there, and then the guy behind the counter is so worried.
Hijinks are ensuing.
Yes.
I like it. The guy is mumbling from it. He's like,
that, my dear, is called whinging. I just can't. That's whinging. That's what that word means. It's one of my favorite because when you're like, stop whining, then they fall into whinging and you're like, not that one either. Pick something else. It's not going to work. Okay.
Yeah. We're driving
in the cop car
with Dave, Debbie, and Mike is in the back seat.
Debbie goes, "You can't tell me what to do."
Right. And like, it's this whole moment of Dave saying to Debbie, "I'm going to take you home," or "I'm going to take you and lock you up at the police station."
I was like, abuse of power.
Right. Also, I was like, gee, Dave, I can see why she dumped you. Because apparently they used to date.
Yeah. His frosted tips, his clean cut uniform.
Yeah.
The actress who plays Debbie, Suzanne Snyder, was also in Weird Science, and she played a character named Deb. So typecast much.
All right.
And then we cut to a woman in lingerie, and clown shows up to her door. And
she's holding a glass of wine, and she's like, pizza?
Yeah.
And he's like, And then one clown sticks his head in, and it's just like, And the second clown sticks his head in, and he's like,
Yeah.
Open the pizza box. Triceratops comes up and it's just like, and then they shoot her and she becomes a pink testicle.
Yeah.
Oh, but then and then we go to Candygram.
Yeah. And the lady's like, why? Oh, okay. If I was opening up the door and there was this thing, I would be immediately shutting the door.
She looked at the pretty box he's offering.
And she's
her.
Just like, oh, Harold, you gave it. I don't know if that's her husband's name, but I'm going to call him Harold.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you get this for me? Did you get this for me? I was like, no, he didn't get it for you.
That clown was a Candygram red mohawk guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got back to the cop car. She wants to go back. And I'm like, nah, thanks. I got out alive. Good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna lock my doors. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We cut back to the drugstore. Yeah. Little Triceratops shaves Ronald with shaving cream.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, and so Dave and Mike get back to where the circus is.
Mm-hmm.
They notice that it's gone and there's just nothing but this giant hole, which, Dave, that should give you a clue that something did happen because there's a giant hole in there.
Yeah. And it would be really deep.
Yeah.
Because how big the ship is and how deep the Death Star drop is and everything.
Yeah, and also I have a note that says Dave is turning into Mooney because he handcuffs Mike, puts him in the backseat of the car.
Yeah, so he can investigate makeout point.
And then we see the bikers, and I think they're just being unnecessarily mean to Triceratops.
Because little Triceratops shows up with his little tricycle with like training wheels. It is a bike with training wheels on it. It's got, it's a space bike, but it's got like streamers and it's brightly colored.
This is the moment that makes me think that it's a kid because he's super happy about his bike and he wants to show it off to others.
Yeah, but I feel that way about stupid shit I like too.
Okay.
But that's okay. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. We all have a childlike wonder inside of us, and no one should step on that.
Right.
I was talking to nephew about, he was telling me how he likes to play tag, right? He's 15 and he's a great guy. He was playing tag and his PE teacher was like, you need to stop that. That's a little kid game. And I was like, excuse me, you were engaging in a physical activity that you were enjoying with your peers and it wasn't negative in any way. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, don't listen to that teacher. That teacher's dumb. If you're on your own time, you're allowed to play tag. You know, like if I respect rules. Don't run in a no running area because, you know, people collide and break teeth. Right. But like if you want to go play outside and run around and play tag, there's nothing wrong with that. So if somebody's just like, I love my little kid bike, I'd be like, good for you. But instead, we have our one POC whose name in the credits is the black guy, the black biker. His name is Melvin. Melvin is just like, oh, look at this guy. And like, just like playing it up, like making fun. And then Jerko, somebody else walks up to him and is like, can I ride your bike? And little Triceratops is like, shakes his head no. And he's like, he's exaggerated. And it's obvious he's mocking him. And he's like, well, can I honk the horn? Which, here's the thing. That's a good compromise. You know, you want to engage with somebody, lessen the demand. Little Triceratops is like, okay, yeah. And nods head. They don't speak very much. And so Jerkbag picks up his bike, smashes it to the ground. And Melvin's over there like, I should have let him ride the bike. And I'm like, shut up, Melvin.
Yeah. And then little Triceratops jumps up into the air and then comes back down. He's got boxing gloves.
Yes. And he does a little turn as he's like warming up his guns, so to speak.
Right. And the guy in front of him, because he's going to fight him, says, what are you going to do? Knock my block off? And then he gives him this nice uppercut.
Yes.
And he literally knocks his head off.
It lands in a garbage bin. And I think that's quite thoughtful, little Triceratops.
Yeah. Also, I just like punching someone so hard that their head comes off.
Mm-hmm.
That is like one of the campiest moments in this movie.
So satisfying.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite kill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we get to a kid at a burger stop. And there's like it looks like, you know, two moms and their kids are having burgers.
We have no idea what time of day it is.
It's like probably 1 a.m.
Because here's the thing. It starts at dark. It ends at dark.
Right.
When would you go make out at Top of the World? Like not before 9:00, right?
Right. But like also not before, like, I don't know. Like it depends. It looks like it's a pretty active time. So it seems to me like it's, I think about like when I was younger, when a lot of people around my age group were doing things, it was generally not even before 10. It was like between 11 and 12 at the earliest.
Yeah, we camped out at Sherry's so much way late at night.
So let's say that it's 11 by this time for whatever reason. But like this little girl is being scolded by her mom, like, you need to sit still and eat your food. And then we see the clown outside and he's
sitting on a donkey toy.
Yeah. And she's just, and the little girl's like smiling and waving like she's enchanted. I'm like, what part of these things is charming?
It's the Stephen King effect. There's something alluring that we're not aware of as the audience. I think there's got to be like a very It Tesseract kind of like pheromone thing going on that we don't understand.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for little Triceratops and the biker, but apparently this guy, oh, which one is it? It's, it's large Triceratops. He's like, he's probably 2-3 feet taller than little Triceratops, but he has the same halo hair with the green spike in the middle.
He also beckons her out with that finger thing. And I'm like, oh,
it's all of the fingers. It's all
really?
Three. And then,
oh.
Well, he waves like that, like a wave. Mm-hmm. And then she waves like that. And then he like brings her in. Cause I think with the sausage fingers on the gloves, like it wouldn't be very like mm-hmm. creepy, but like with all three of them. And she's like, hell yeah.
Yeah. She goes out towards it. She gets to the door and her mom comes back and is like, no, you need to eat your food. And I'm like, see, kids, demanding parents are good, actually.
Yeah, my notes say strict parents save lives.
Well, for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then we see Dave driving around and he comes across the some of the other cars that were at the top of the world. And they all look dilapidated. We don't know at this moment that these are the cars at the top of the world. We find out later in the scene that they're the cars that were there. But they're all like just this long string of cars.
They're busted out. They're covered mm-hmm. in what we're calling cotton candy, but looks more like a web. Maybe even looks stickier.
Right. And he tries to like investigate and everything. And he sees one that has all that cotton candy and he opens up the door because he sees a pair of glasses that are just covered in it. And he pulls those out and then he takes them over to Mike because now he's convinced. And he goes and he gets Mike out of the car, gets him uncuffed.
Yes. He's like, I'll need your help for this
right.
death trap. This is where my notes was like, oh, no, it's called Top of the World. And then, like, so people are trying to bang there all the time. And then somebody would have to drop the line, you're my world. And now I'm on top of the world.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. Yeah. Somebody said that. And I'm mad that it's me right now, but somebody else said it.
It's like that Blueberry Hill joke.
Huh. What's that?
Boy comes home really late from whatever he's doing. And parents ask him what he's doing. And he says, I was on top of Blueberry Hill. And he says that like 3 times. And then a knock at the door. And a girl is asking for the boy, and they say, sure, may I ask who is asking for him? And she says, Blueberry Hill.
That's disgusting.
It is. I remember hearing that like 7 or 8 years old.
Sorry. 8 years old? I was about to take the blame for like knowing a million dirty jokes back today, but like that is far beyond me. That is not age appropriate, Jen.
That is not. That's something that an older brother would tell a younger sibling.
I never had that then. I told all the dirty jokes in this house. I would like to point out that at makeout point, these two are rivals. They've established, right? Current beau, former beau, right?
Correct.
But if they would just exposit at each other a tiny bit, there would be so much less bickering.
You mean if men just talked about their problems, they probably wouldn't have the need to fight so much?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe exactly what I'm saying.
We're kind of like being super rad femme right now.
Not even mad. But also the men in this movie are garbage. Except for one guy.
Yeah.
And we haven't got to him yet.
Yeah.
So we go to Mooney, who's at the police station. Picking up all of these calls. Here's the thing. I don't care who you are. If your emergency board is lighting up, you don't start hanging up on people who are like, there's a clown and he's got my wife carried her away in a balloon. I can't believe those flim flam boys be getting you with their ice cream truck and their shenanigans with the clowns. Hang up. He goes and he drinks at one point.
Yeah. As he's drinking, he's also complaining about like these rich people with their kids that go to Ivy League schools and then they have to come back home and they get babysitted by police.
Yeah. Like this is a drunkard town. Like this is just
right.
No.
Or it's like a rich town. Probably maybe with the college as well. He doesn't seem to like being someone who's supposed to serve his community. He doesn't seem very interested and he doesn't seem to have a very high opinion of the community as a part of.
No, he seems like a drunk asshole.
He also says he says to Mike that he must feel really extra special for his academy training. Like going to the police academy is this big like Ivy League thing that people do.
Well, they all had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how he got his job if he's not going to the academy.
Well, let's see. Mooney, it's late 80s. So let's say Mooney, would you say he's like, you said he's 5 years away from retirement?
I think he's supposed to be late 50s, early 60s.
Right. So let's say that he got the job in his late 20s. So he's been doing this 30 years. That would put him as a police officer from the 1950s.
Gross.
Yeah.
I will advocate for Mooney on one point and one point only.
Okay.
And that is, it is difficult to argue with choosing to do nothing when things get difficult.
Yeah.
It's a go-to.
One of the phone calls that he gets is from the drugstore owner. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mr. Tyler, even you? And that's when he gets another phone call. And that's when he's like, oh, hold on, Mr. Tyler. And he picks up the other phone call. And then when he goes back to the drugstore, he hears the drugstore owner screaming.
And then like honking or whatever, right. Like some clown noise.
This is how I encapsulate Mooney. He is so convinced of his ideas that he cannot conceive of the fact that he is wrong. He's so focused on the fact that he is right, that this is all just a prank. And like earlier, he's like, oh, Mike, you hang out with those creepy brothers in the ice cream truck, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's just dead set on the idea that this is nothing but a prank. Mm-hmm. And he cannot, to such a degree that he cannot conceive of the fact that he is potentially wrong, even though there's all of this evidence that's mounting up against him to prove that he is wrong. It sounds a little bit topical.
I will bring it back down just a little bit, if you'd like.
Because that was getting up there.
No, not really that bad. Not compared to me 10 minutes ago. I will say that there's a common phrase for new doctors that is, when you hear the sound of hoofbeats, look for horses, not zebras. And this guy is being presented zebras, not horses. And so it's kind of like this cognitive dissonance that is understandable, but he's still a drunk jerk who needs to not. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Also, depending on how big the town is, how much of a prank, just thinking about the logistics of a prank that goes ahead and gets into the town to such a degree that the cops are getting these phone calls. Mm-hmm. It would have to be huge. And then at some point you would be like, okay, this needs to get investigated.
Like, it's hard enough to organize a dinner party of 8 human adult people. Could you imagine organizing 2,500 people to be like, yeah, let's antagonize the police of our small town.
Right.
With clown stories?
Yeah, moving on. We see a guy on the road who looks a lot like Brendan Fraser.
He really does.
But he's not Brendan Fraser, and so I was sad. And he gets run off the road by a clown in an invisible car.
I call this guy Knob Redhead Clown, because he's got three little nubs in the tuft of hair in the middle of it. They kind of look like they look plasticky, like a bobble. Not quite like hair at all. And then he's got the halo of hair like a regular clown would. And he seems to be the most aggressive. Well, maybe the second most aggressive. But I get leadership feelings from this clown. He feels like he feels like he's in charge. I feel like he's in charge.
Okay.
Red knobhead.
All I know is that he runs the guy off the road, and when the car is in flames, he makes that.
He runs him off the road on an invisible motorcycle.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good gag.
Yeah. So Debbie is back at home. She is like just so flustered with the day that she goes ahead and takes a shower. So she's taking her clothes off, and we don't see anything. We don't see any nudity.
Nope.
But the camera does pan down to the popcorn that's on the floor.
She takes off her shirt, and you presume her bra, and then all this popcorn falls to the ground. And I was like, oh. I know that feeling. Have you gone
where you're just eating so much?
Have you gone to the movies and then taken off your bra when you got home? there was a time. Applauders. Hi. I'm going to bring you into something. I was a child in the. I'd say child. I was a baby adult in the late 90s, early 2000s, and there was a disturbing trend where people kept all their things in their bra. More prevalent, and maybe it was the age thing. Maybe people go through the. Thing, but there was a time when I would take off my bra, and like a lighter and a dollar and some food and like a chapstick would all fall to the ground.
I never did that, by the way, because it would just be super uncomfortable.
I had a lot of space in my bra.
Get this lady some pockets.
that's why women have to resort to it, is because our pockets are so small.
It's true. Okay, so our popcorn bra moment is probably what I will call the realest moment in this film.
My note was, this is why you make popcorn on the stove.
Yeah.
Because stovetop popcorn is really good if you know how to like melt the butter in the hot pan. It's a, I mean, if you know the tricks.
Wait till I teach you how to make kettle corn.
Mm-hmm. I've made kettle corn
before. Oh, well then wait till you make me some kettle corn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to teach you to make caramel corn.
Mm-hmm. I need to get a cast iron wok because the shape of a wok is actually perfect for popping popcorn on the stove.
I saw a hack on how, I say a hack, like I need to teach you anything. If you take the grate on the gas grill and turn it over, it's got a hole in it so it'll hold a wok.
Nice.
I can't wait for your birthday. I guess I'll do some walking around and find out what I should get for you. You can name it Christopher. Christopher for walking.
I don't name any of my pants, but I might have to name him that one.
So as she like climbs in the shower, the little popcorn pieces. Now, here's the thing. I hate a parasite, but they start squidging around in this cute little jellyfish way that I like.
Right. So she puts her clothes into the hamper and we see the hamper kind of jiggling around a little bit.
I think it's funny that we see all this popcorn fall to the ground and then her clothes are in the hamper. Then there's no popcorn on the ground. So mm-hmm. did they climb into the hamper to join the other popcorn attached to her clothes? Or did she sweep up all that popcorn and just put it in the hamper?
Naomi, are you saying this is where the science breaks down for you?
Yes.
Okay.
But here's also maybe the most screwed over guy in the film, I think. This guy is at work. He's working at the burger place. He has to wear a stupid little cone hat.
Yeah, but before we get to that guy, we see one of the clowns like go open a bag. Uh-huh. And like put some, it looks like a doctor's bag.
Yes.
And it opens up and he grabs, it's just filled with popcorn. And so he grabs some and then he sprinkles it into the garbage behind the burger place. And he does it in like a like salty, like how you would.
Like a Salt Bay way.
Well, yeah. Well, not like Salt Bay, the meme, but he does it like a chef would with salt on like a dish.
Or like somebody spreading seeds in a garden.
Mm-hmm.
It just occurred to me that popcorn is a super cheap, easy to come by prop. This is a genius move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So burger guy comes out with the evening's garbage or whatever. Mm-hmm. We still don't know what time it is. It doesn't look like end of a shift.
Right.
But he like goes into, it's so funny. He opens it up. Okay. Here's what you'd normally do. You've taken stuff to a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
You would set the bags next to you or you would set down one of the bags. You would open up the dumpster, put one bag in, hold the dumpster, grab the other bag and throw it in. He opens the dumpster, puts the bag in. Puts the lid down, picks up the bag, opens the dumpster, puts it in. And for some reason, I'm like, nope, you overthought that, guy.
Yep.
You thought about that too hard.
Right. He's probably never had to deal with a dumpster.
He's too much of an actor.
He's been to Juilliard.
Ah! So he starts to walk away when he starts hearing something in the dumpster. And I like to think that he was good guying it. I like to think that he was like, oh, is there a raccoon or something in there?
I swear it sounds like birds chirping. So he's like, oh, there's a little animal in there and I'm gonna get it out. Like, could you imagine like opening up a dumpster to put in the trash and then there's just like kittens? I would be like jumping in there and pulling the kittens out.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But he leans over and then he leans over further into the dumpster. He leans over even further into the dumpster. He's a goner. Mm-hmm. He gets pulled into the dumpster.
Right.
Screaming ensues.
Done. Right.
Yeah. Sorry, burger guy.
Nah, we're back to Dave and Mike driving. I don't remember exactly what they talk about. Probably Debbie, but I do think that they're perfect for each other because they're both putzes.
Yes, I could ship them in a heartbeat. I believe them over anyone else romantically in this film.
Agreed. And so they're driving and they...
There's a clown. There's a clown now.
Well, yeah, but it shows them driving. They're kind of expositing about stuff that doesn't actually mean anything. And then we cut to... just a bunch of people wait. Oh, I think they say that, oh, just drop me off at the bus stop and I'll go over. And like they're figuring out what they need to do. And he's like, Mike says that he's going to go over to Debbie's because he mentions a bus stop. Maybe he does that a little bit later.
Well, what we see after Burger Guy is that there's a bus stop with a bunch of people sitting at it.
Oh, okay.
At whatever hour of the whatever time. They must live in the Twilight Zone or something. Maybe it's always night and this takes over the place over the course of a month, which makes a lot more sense.
They're in Alaska.
It's beautiful. Okay, so there's a bunch of people at the bus stop. Bus pulls in front of them. The bus pulls away. No one has gotten on or off the bus, except now there's a clown to everyone's stage right.
And there's an old lady who looks over at the clown and she's just like, ha ha, oh, he's so charming. And again, I don't see it because I'm outside the movie.
Yeah, pheromones aren't getting to you. So he starts twiddling. He's like looking at her and she like nudges the guy next door and she's like, look, look, look. And he's like, ugh. And then the clown starts twiddling his hands. And then the, it's kind of amazing, the animation part. It looks pretty good too. 1987 probably produced, like it's a shadow cast on the wall behind them and he does the following shadow puppets.
Yes,
the first one is, can you remember?
Oh, it's a bunny.
It's a bunny rabbit. The second is a
elephant with its teeth, because I thought it was interesting that Mike was like, it's a toothless elephant in back in the 10, and I was like, oh, because the elephant probably got its ivy taken. Sorry.
Ivory trade is bad.
Yeah.
And the third,
isn't that the Washington crossing the Delaware?
That is correct.
Yeah, the old guy kind of like salutes before you see it.
I didn't see that. That's amazing. Okay.
It reminds me a lot of the Gremlins 2 intermission scene.
That's one of the best bumps that ever happened in a movie ever.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned that in one of our
previews. It's a good example of a fourth wall. This is not a fourth wall break, but like, it's a good example of like taking your audience out of where they were visually in a film and like remembering to them that like what we're doing here is amazing and you should probably show it some respect,
mm-hmm.
You know?
It's an Abraham Lincoln is in the Gremlins
yes,
silhouette.
God, it's so hilarious. Mm-hmm. So number 1, 2, 3, 4. What's number 4?
Oh, it's a dancing lady.
Yeah, but I called her the sexy lady.
Yeah.
But what is number 5?
Oh, it's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And before we actually see that, that's when we see Dave and Mike come up. And Dave doesn't want to shoot the clown because he's like, he doesn't have any actual proof. He hasn't seen.
It's just a clown. I don't care how deformed he is. I don't shoot unarmed civilians.
Right. But then when he sees the T-Rex shadow grab everybody.
Yes.
And then they go and they disappear.
It has glowing red eyes.
Yeah.
And it just consumes them all. And it's a delightful thing.
When the clown takes them, puts them, he like has his hands kind of like cupped like the way you do when you grab something.
Yes.
And then he puts it into his bag. And then as Mike like slams on the accelerator and goes for like trying to get at the clown.
Well, so Dave, I think, is trying to do So I think Dave might be driving over there to see, but Mike is like, no, I don't want to go over there to the murder clown. And so he steps on the gas and cranks the wheel, right? And then in the way that movie magic does, they slowly crash into the wall, except they speed it up. But you can see that they're like, oh, conk.
and the clown like jumps out of the way.
Yes, just this vertical leap completely out of the way. And then I'm like, okay, take your completely undamaged cop car and, mm-hmm. and go handle this.
Right. So Dave and Mike split. Dave and Mike split when they see the creepy brothers.
Here's what happens with that, Lydia.
Yeah.
Two girls come running out of the alleyway screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Then the ice cream truck rolls out of the alleyway. And then the two guys run after the truck, saying the phrase, forget about the girls. They eat too much. Yeah. And that's where my notes say, go f*** yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the thing. They haven't seen the clowns yet. This is not a when I first watched it, I was like, the hell? What clown? Because I've been trying to keep track of which clown's doing which thing, mm-hmm. right? But no. They just got super gross with the girls, and the girls ran away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, oh, they're too fat anyway.
Yeah.
And then freaking Mike shows up and is just like, hey, I need your help. And they're like, we want money and girls. And
right. Yeah. Okay. So your earlier comments make sense now.
Yeah. I hate them.
Yeah. But like my point about that, I mean, I wasn't trying to support these guys or, you know, like justify their bad behavior. I want to make very clear.
Oh, no.
They're creepy brothers.
And you're not advocating for them with your whole heart.
No. I do say this. They are exhausting.
Yes. Here's what I was saying to, I think, Jen. I was like, these guys are normally my favorite type of character. I like a bumbling, kind of funny. Like in Mario, they had it twice. They had mm-hmm. Mario and Luigi. And then they had
Iggy and Spike.
Yeah. You had two bumbling, kind of like genius, not genius dork crews. And I was like, all for it. Right. You don't have that in this movie anywhere. The closest is little Triceratops and big Triceratops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I call them, from this point on, they are the ice cream schmucks.
Yeah. So Mike is like, I need to get to Debbie's. And they're like, oh, does she have any roommates? And he's like, yes, she has roommates. And do they like ice cream? He's like, yes, they like ice cream. And so that's how he gets them over to take him to Debbie's.
Yes. But like on the way, he's like trying to convince them that clowns are. Or because right. One guy gets on the horn and he's like, oh, scary clowns. Blah. Yeah. And then he's like, no, it's real. And he's like, I doubt that. But we cut back to the police station.
Right.
Where dude is like freaking out over the phones now because he realized
all of them are ringing.
Yeah. He's like, well, maybe this isn't a prank anymore. And then he says to himself in what I can only assume is I can only conjecture that it is him attempting to, not him, but like the scriptwriter attempting to humanize him to us. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, come on, you're a Korean War vet. You can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, na 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 na.
Right.
Do 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 do. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to sing in because now enters Large Triceratops.
And he goes ahead and does some, like, at this point, Mooney feels like you can see he's kind of on the fence about, like, maybe this is something I should be, you know, taken seriously. And then the clown comes in and he's like, nope, this is definitely a prank. And so he's like, you know, you're in Mooney's territory now. And
he lights a cigar and he starts to get all smarmy because he's just like, aha, you're on my turf.
Yeah. Oh, at one point he says, whoop de goddamn do. And I had the captions on. So the captions read exclaimed instead of saying that. So I mean, if you hear me say whoop de goddamn do, I may not say it after this.
I doubt you will ever say that again after today. And I encourage that. I really do.
So basically the clown is in the police station.
So Mooney's smoking a cigar. The clown pulls out a bouquet of flowers and Mooney says, for me? Mm-hmm. And he leans in to smell the why? Mm-hmm. And he gets, again, I guess pheromones or whatever, hypnotism. Like maybe they're like cephalopods and they're hypnotizing them with like skin thingies we can't see.
I think you're overthinking it.
I really need to.
Okay.
But he gets squirted in the face with a bouquet, and it's such a good, like, sometimes you get this kind of anemic squirt of water from like a little boutonniere flower squirt, but this is a full bouquet and it like soaks his face all the way down his cigar, which he then spits onto his desk, which he's not worried about lighting on fire because he is covered in water.
Right.
And that is like one of my favorite. I like that part. That was pretty good.
Yeah. There's also a lot of other clown gags, like Mooney handcuffs the clown and then the hands come off. And he goes to put the clown in with the goth punk rockers. Yes. And like as Mooney's back is turned, we see the clown do that thing where it puts the thumb on his nose and like wiggles his fingers.
Yeah.
And then he says, hands up. And so the clown puts his hands up and then the hands come back out.
Yeah. And if they're the hands from before, that means they wiggled their way up through his pants.
Yeah. And then he goes in and the clown does something and he hits the clown over the head.
Well, he says he opens up the cell and he's like, get in there with mm-hmm. my poor goth babies.
Yeah.
And the clown doesn't do anything at that point. Not after the neener neener mm-hmm. nose to thumb thing. But when he gets inside, he's not facing the door. And in an act of police brutality mm-hmm. that he thinks he's going to get away with,
right,
the cop takes his flashlight, I assume, and like whacks him on the back of the head. And that's when this clown, Large Triceratops, mm-hmm. he 180s his entire head and is like, right? Dude, like, slams the door. And then
the clown uses one of those party favors that it's called the blowout.
Is it really?
Yeah, I looked it up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he blows out this thing that turns into a hand that grabs Mooney by the throat and then like chucks and then like pulls him in and hits him on the bars.
Yeah,
and he
now,
knocks out.
Now, yeah, he's unconscious.
Right.
And we know that the locks are not going to be any problem.
Right.
We now cut back to what is possibly the longest shower ever taken by any woman ever. Who does not intend to be naked on camera.
Right. Because Debbie's done with her shower and she gets dressed I think this is the moment where we see the laundry kind of wiggle back and forth after she grabs
her towel. Yeah, but she's still drying off in the shower. Right. She's still technically in the shower.
So Dave comes back to the station.
Did you notice that the lights are turned off?
Yeah.
Because clowns are thoughtful about energy.
There's also shoe prints on the floor. And he follows those, like, yes. Everywhere.
Like, I rolled my eyes at that at first, but then, like, the next gag kind of brings it in.
Right.
Because he follows the footsteps into the holding cell area, and then they're just footprints over everything, floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And so he goes into the cell where goth baby rockers
are now goth baby cotton candy cocoons.
Mm-hmm.
My babies.
Yeah. And Dave goes in. He like verifies that these are the people who got arrested earlier. And then he backs out and he goes over to into the office area. And we see large Triceratops.
Because he walks in and he out of the corner of his eye, he sees large Triceratops sitting in it at the desk. And he does a slow turn. And then large Triceratops turns at the same time. It's a beautiful like pivot at the same time moment. It was pretty good. I'm excited about this. This might be one of my favorite parts.
Right. And a large Triceratops then grabs something and it pulls it up and it's Mooney and he looks like pale and he's got like these red circles painted on his cheeks and lines on going from the sides of his mouth down
his jowls.
What does he look like, Naomi?
He looks like a dummy, like he said he'd never be turned into.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Well done, script writers.
Yes.
So in one of the only times they talk at all, and it's him manipulating Mooney to do so, he goes,
"Don't worry, Dave. All we want to do is to kill you."
His deadpan face, his dead looking eyeballs, his jowls, you realize that it's they put the lines down the cheeks like it's a hinge on a wooden dummy, but it's actually blood dripping from his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the large Triceratops, which doesn't sound as terrifying. This is the scariest point. This is the scariest moment in the entire film for me,
mm-hmm.
as far as it was scary at all, which is a 0 out of 10. Right. But it was like the scariest bit. He extracts his hand with like a really wet noise. And then he like wiggles his finger. And then Mooney, last to be seen, lands face first on the, well, face side to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that scene in Independence Day with Brent Spiner, the alien takes him and
it's the moment where they're doing the autopsy. It's like it's after they do the autopsy and the alien like is still alive and he takes Data from Star Trek.
I'm a Spiner fan. I get you.
Yeah. And so he talks the alien talks through Brett Spiner, and like this scene when I first watch it was like, oh wow, this is like real horror. And a few other times that I watched it, I was like, it's not really that scary.
When some other entity uses someone you know, and more specifically someone you love, to talk to you, it is mortifying. And it's supposed to be.
Have you ever heard of Bravest Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for anybody who isn't familiar, it is a cartoon. It's a cartoon show on YouTube on the channel Cartoon Hangover. It's by Pendleton Ward.
I love Pendleton.
Yeah, there is an episode where these like superhero teenagers who go out and it's in the future. They're like superhero teenagers who go off and do great things for other people. They get stuck on this planet and all of their friends get like one by one, they get snatched up and then they look like they're dead bodies and they're being like puppeted by someone. And it was just like it's kind of terrifying, but it's also like everything kind of works out in the end.
Okay.
Except for the guy who's puppeting them.
Probably shouldn't have worked out well for him.
No. And there's reasons why he's stuck on that planet alone. But like at some points he grabs skeletons and he's like puppeting skeletons as though they're friends. Anyways.
When you're lonely.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do to cope?
Right.
But you know what Dave is gonna do to cope right now?
Is he going to call the cavalry?
No, first he's going to whip out his firearm and try to defend himself from the killer clown that's in front of him. That's just ripped his hand out of the butthole of his best work buddy. his work husband's now laying on the floor dead. He's going to like...
Work husband?
I mean, they hate each other and they work together all the time. Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay.
That's a stereotype. Ah!
Hey, buy a cop a drink first.
Yeah, so Dave starts shooting the clown as the clown stands up and is like throwing, moving the desk out of the way.
Like they're nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets shot in the torso a couple times. I think he gets maybe shot in the shoulder or something like that. But it's like... He uses so many bullets. Why didn't he get more bullets? This is I didn't do a bullet count, guys. I'm sorry, but like
you named the clowns. It's okay.
I named them all incorrectly. All right, but he eventually shoots him in the nose, and then the alien clown screams and then starts to spin, turns into a crystalline spinning green structure, and then explodes into sparks and glitter, and it's awesome. And I was like, I'll take 5 15 more of those, please.
Yes.
Do I get 15 more?
Nope.
I get 1.5 more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beep, beep, applauder. Thank you for listening to part 2 of our review of the 1988 cult classic Killer Clowns from Outer Space. We still have one more part of our walkthrough to get through next week, and can't wait to share our shocked and applaudable moments with you. Looking for more great ways to catch a quick laugh? Talkin' Shiz is a comedy podcast that discusses some current events, movies, music, and obscure references with host CJ. And I Drink Your Podcast is going through movies of the 2010s and is one of our favorite film review podcasts. Check out links to these shows in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and spouse of someone who owns a CD of the soundtrack for The Greatest Showman, Jen. Do you wish there was a way to share mixtapes but with podcasts? Podchaser.com makes it easy to create lists of shows or episodes and share them with others. Including us in your list making helps us reach new applauders who haven't yet discovered our peculiar pulpit of panned movie pictures. We'll be back in 1 week for the conclusion of our discussion of this 80s science fiction horror comedy. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.